And boom goes the dynamite. And boom goes the dynamite.
And welcome to episode 20 of Boom Goes the Dynamite, the AEW Dynamite review show here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. I'm Jeffrey. With me today, a special guest, the Cubs fan. Cubs, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Yeah, I think this is the first time you've been on this show. You've been on my other show, Strong Style Story, which, of course, you can listen to now on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. We uploaded a new one this past Sunday, so talking about Tiger Hattori and Manabu Nakanishi and a bunch of other things. So, did you happen to watch Dark at all this week?
No, I saw some GIFs, but that was the extent of it for me.
Okay, I'm just going to quickly go through the results. Chris Statlander beat Diamante. That match was pretty okay, I thought. Not bad. Best Friends, Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta beat the Hybrid 2, Angelico and Jack Evans. That was a fun match. How do you think Angelico and Evans have been used so far in AEW, knowing them from AAA and Lucha Underground?
I mean, they're like the lowest ranked team, it seems like, but I was just happy for them to get a regular TV position. It'd be nice if they did more, especially with Jack, but this is about what I expect for them when they were announced for this group.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Evans is, Jack Evans is definitely a talent that needs more exposure, so. And it's funny because they've been on TV longer than most of the folk that are on this show, but such is not the case, I guess. Moving on, Big Swole defeated Christy Janes in her AEW debut. I guess I'm going to see both Christy Janes and Chris Statlander this coming Friday at the Logan Square Auditorium for AAW. They're running their Art of War shows. Are you going to be there for that one?
No, this is one I'm going to have to miss out. I have other stuff going on, and I have a CML show. There's always Lucha Libre that I'm stuck watching, so I'm missing out on this one.
Such is your blessing, such is your curse, I guess.
Yes.
And then, Big Swole beat Christy Janes. That match also not bad. I thought it was okay. And then I did not watch the main event, which was of Dark, which was the Young Bucks against the thrown-together team of QT Marshall and Peter Avalon, because you cannot pay me enough to watch a match featuring the Young Bucks against Peter Avalon and QT Marshall. So that's...
Yeah. Peter Avalon seemed like he was all over the first 10 episodes of Dynamite, and it completely dropped them. And I have it. This is the only reason I even noticed, is because he was on Dark this week.
Yeah, I was surprised. I actually had thought that maybe he had just gone away. He and Leva Bates had just gone away, but nope. They trotted him out this week. So for Dark. So I guess it was last week. Of course, it was taped in Austin. But with that, we move on. Episode 20 of AEW Dynamite, live from the State Farm Arena in Hotlanta, GA. Your hosts, Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, and Excalibur. And we start off with the 10-team Tag Team Battle Royale for the number one contendership to the AEW World Tag Team titles at Revolution. There were a lot of teams. I'm not going to go through the order of elimination. Just, Cubs, what were your thoughts about the... that match?
AEW, even going back to All In, they book out a lot of spots in their battle royals, and sometimes it works better than others. I thought this one came together better as people were eliminated and then as they had more room to do stuff and had spots, but some of the stuff worked better than others. I thought they did, for where they were going, they had a pretty good finish, but it was not something I'd go out of my way to go back and see again.
Yeah, there were some of the there were some surprises. I thought I didn't expect SCU to get eliminated so quickly, because they're in the midst of a super push for Scorpio Sky, it seems like.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that was through some fuckery with the Dark Order. But because I guess that's where, you know, their focus is going to be right now is feuding with the Dark Order. In the end, of course, you know, maybe we shouldn't be so surprised. The winner of the match via Matt Jackson being the last man standing, of course, the Young Bucks will challenge for the AEW World Tag Team titles. Champions to be determined later this program. So we move on. We had a commercial break, and then we move right into match number two, women's match. Chris Statlander against Shanna, with Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, on commentary. I thought this was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it too. I think it probably, the same way I feel a lot of AEW matches where it would have been a little bit better if they cut down time a little bit. But I thought for two people we have not seen a lot on Dynamite, I thought they meshed pretty well and had especially late, had a pretty exciting match.
Yeah, especially since the last time Chris Statlander was on Dynamite, it was that trash fire of a women's title match that had a lot of, the Nightmare Collective garbage go on with it that has now, of course, since, you know, been officially abandoned by AEW. But so it's good that Statlander is getting back on her feet on TV and, you know, getting a chance to build herself up. Britt Baker, I could take her leave on commentary, you know.
I think it's a tough spot to do that character for a full match because it can sort of be distracting from the match itself. I thought she did fine with it, but it didn't really add much to it. We understood the character. They didn't really need to put her on the screen every week.
Yeah, especially since her wrestling is, like, still kind of trash, unfortunately. Yeah. but
And it doesn't seem like she has a program for Revolution either, so there wasn't... I don't see the...
Actually, hold that thought, because something that came up later on... after that, we got a recap of Nyla Rose versus Riho for the AEW Women's title from last week, which I still say was the best match of the evening last week. And so it was a good little recap of that match, nice highlights, and then we had a commercial break, and we come back, we get a proper Nyla Rose promo.
I like this promo just for... She sounded very aggressive and into her character. She came off, she's supposed to be a scary person, not in the Dark Order scary way, but an intimidating person, and I think she got that through in her promo.
Yeah, she's supposed to be scary in the I will fuck you up sort of way, you know?
Right.
And she did, and she made that perfectly clear. And she was then more or less challenged by Chris Statlander, which is something Chris and I demanded happen last week. We demanded the Nyla Rose versus Chris Statlander promo, and then our program, excuse me. And then Big Swole came out as well. And and a big security kerfluffle. So it's good. I mean, I like both Statlander and Big Swole. I like Nyla Rose. This sounds like a good program to go through.
Yeah, there need to be some sort of challenger for Revolution. So I'm not sure if this means we're going to get a three-way or something, or if we're going to do Big Swole versus Statlander next week to determine number one contender. But I think you can tell there's a plan going on here, and that's good to see.
Right, and with Statlander currently being AAW's women's champion, yeah, she's got name value in Chicago. So I mean, why not? Let's go with that. You mentioned you didn't know if they were doing anything with Britt. Well, throughout the match, he kept mentioning how Shanna and her were going back and forth on Twitter. And I guess there was a tweet of a video footage from backstage in which Britt attacked Shanna during a post-match interview.
Okay, yeah. So maybe that will be a match for the pay-per-view. That sounds like something for maybe even the buy-in or even for Dynamite next week.
Yeah, next week. Yeah, because there's still a Dynamite in between there, too. We go to, where was it? KCMO, right? Kansas City.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I believe, yeah. So following that, we had another recap, this time of Jeff Cobb. And, you know, the Jericho promo promising Cobb, and then his shock appearance at the end of last week's Dynamite. So that was good. And then it brings us to our third match of the evening, Jon Moxley against Jeff Cobb. Joined by Taz on commentary, of all people. What did you think of this?
I thought it was good. It was not one of the stronger matches of either guys have. I did not see their G1 match last year, but I had heard plenty about this week of how it was disappointing. So I was prepared for this match not to be great. And so maybe because my expectations were low, I thought this was good. I would have liked Cobb to come across stronger in his debut, but if he's not under contract like everyone says he is, then maybe that's not really a big issue for AEW. They did protect him on the finish by having it be sort of a fluke thing with still Mox winning. But
right,
it was,
yeah, it was a roll. It was like, you know, Toriano roll-up schoolboy type thing, yeah.
Yeah, I thought this was good, but I don't know if I would even say this was better than the women's match that was before it. I think Cobb can do, I know Cobb's level is much higher than what he showed here.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically a TV match. I mean, they weren't going all out. I actually think the G1 match was a little better, but I still did not enjoy this match. But yeah, it could have been better. It just seemed like it was just a TV match overall.
Right.
And yeah, Cobb has been booked stronger. I had a guy in my mentions. It was actually Dave Ryan of a fellow, you know, Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network podcaster of Days of Thunder, saying that he still thinks the strongest he was ever booked was as Matanza Cueto on Lucha Underground. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but
yeah, he was booked as an indestructible, invincible person. So it's tough to top being stronger than he was booked there.
Right, yeah. And we've seen him be a heel, too. I mean, he's also, you know, outside of Matanza Cueto, because, you know, he was part of, you know, the wrestling stable in AAW with, who was it, Eddie Kingston,
David Starr.
David Starr and Trevor Lee, wasn't it?
Yes, Trevor Lee was in that.
So, yeah. So, I mean, he's, we've seen him get booked heel and look strong in the process.
Yeah, I happened to watch the Jeff Cobb Bandido title match from PWG last night.
Oh, yeah?
He worked as a heel in there, too, because everyone wanted Bandido to win, and he came across stronger there, too, I think. But then that's PWG. This is TV. You're not expecting the same things.
Yeah, I think if you're going to see a Mox versus Cobb match, I think at this point the G1 match was the better outing. But again, this wasn't a bad match. It's just, you know, it was just a match. So,
right.
In the end, of course, you know, the very end, Chris Jericho, who had tickets, of course, sitting at ringside, he and the rest of the Inner Circle that were with him go to attack him. Dustin Rhodes and Darby Allin both make, you know, rescues for Mox. So, Darby Allin, of course, during the split screen commercial, does the Bob Dylan impersonation that Sammy Guevara has been doing, you know, and, you know, basically saying, you know, you're dead meat at the pay-per-view, you know.
Yeah, and he laid out Sammy during the brawl with the skateboard. And Sammy also, we didn't mention this, but in the Battle Royal, he got killed by a super kick too. So Sammy earned his money tonight.
Yeah, he did kind of get flattened by that. he got folded in half on that one. So for what it's worth, yeah, like you said, he did definitely get his paycheck today. The fourth match, and boy, this we're kind of whipping through this a little bit, aren't we? The fourth match of this show was the AEW World Tag Team Titles, Kenny Omega and Adam Page defending against some of our favorite wrestlers, let's just be honest, Penta El Cerro Miedo and Rey Fénix. Cubs, I don't know how much you've listened to this particular show, but We on Boom Goes the Dynamite have a real axe to grind with how AEW has been booking Pentagon and Phoenix.
Yeah, I can see the complaints. But we've actually talked about this in person when we went to the Chicago show.
Oh, that's true. Right. Yeah, we did.
Pentagon and Phoenix are just used to have really good matches. And as we saw tonight, they can have really, really good matches. It'd be nice if they were protagonists instead of just guys to fill out other people's storylines like they were here. Right. But I kind of have, I don't know if accepted or given up on the point, because it's clear their priority is to get the elite guys in the biggest spotlights possible because they think they're the biggest deal. I mean, from the moment SCU lost these tag team titles to Omega and Paige, it was clear that we're headed to this match on the pay-per-view with the Young Bucks versus Omega and Paige. So I would give credit to these guys that for even like a moment or two during this match, they got me to believe that somehow they were going to run the Young Bucks versus Penta and Phoenix again in Chicago after they ran it for the last time. But I was not let down because my expectations were so low as far as the outcome. But as far as the match itself was awesome. One of the best matches they've had on Dynamite so far.
I just want to point out once again what the AE and AEW stands for.
Yes.
And boy, did they drive this point home today. The result of the match, of course, Adam Page pinning Rey Fenix. So now, of course, so that's three executive vice presidents in one match at the pay-per-view. That being said, yeah, this match was actually pretty damn good. I really have no complaints about the actual wrestling in the match. I will point out further to your point is that I heard a lot of Cerro Miedo chants in that crowd.
Yeah, they're very over for having given pretty much nothing to do on this whole promotion. It's amazing. It's a testament to how good they are and how much the crowd connects with them that they're still with them despite, you know, just kind of hanging around in the mid card.
Right. Well, I mean, we had kind of the same thing when they were, you know, their brief stint in CMLL. Was it last year or 2018?
2018 now.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, CMLL acted like they were just some guys. It's like, yeah, I hear a lot of Cerro Miedos in Arena Mexico, guys.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what people's problems are, especially, ironically, one of the main points that we have brought up is that just the very look of Pentagon and Phoenix too in this very, you know, broadened culture and especially this very superhero oriented culture now, how you can really market Penta and Phoenix. And yet the thing we get, because of course we had to kill time so they can get the cage set up for the main event, was Dana Massey, wife of one of the Young Bucks, I don't remember which, announcing the Wicked Cool Toys promotion for the AEW figures, is like you have this guy who looks like something out of he looks like Mortal Kombat come to life. And you don't have a figure ready for him.
Yeah, I have a feeling that Phoenix and Penta, with their whole gimmicks and situations and what they might be doing with their own merchandising, that they might not be able to be or want to be part of the AEW one at this point. So I wouldn't put that one on AEW.
Okay, I mean, is there any real reason to not push them in AEW besides the obvious R word?
No, I think they get lost in other priorities. That they're probably not the only act like this, because I'm sure they, in a perfect world, AEW would do more with like the best friends too. But I think because they can only focus on so many people, and those people are inevitably going to be the elite, that everyone else is just kind of the wait for an opening, and sometimes the opening's not there. But
right,
I would prefer to see them feuding with the Dark Order, even though the Dark Order is not a high act, than seeing more at the SEU or something like that. There are roles for them that wouldn't take a spot from the lead if they really tried.
Right, but I mean, it's like, you know, like, again, they have to hear the crowd reactions. Like, you know, for another example, like Jurassic Express, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus are really fucking over.
Right.
But, and they've been, and, you know, Jungle Boy has been given spotlight matches. Luchasaurus, not so much yet. You know, Marco Stunt, not so much yet. But they're still popular. You know, people, they're not getting booed.
Right.
People buy the act. Why, you know, it's just, you know, they really are trying to live up to this All Elite name, aren't they?
Yeah. That's where they think their attention, that's where they think their fans are at. I'm not sure if they're right about that, but they're going to go with that for right now, it seems like.
Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, it's just a little irritating. I mean, again, I mean, I think I've told you this numerous times. Legitimately, Pentagon Jr. is one of my top three wrestlers in the entire world. And,
yeah,
you know, it just seems like they ain't getting treated. And besides that, how much free publicity could AEW have ridden because, you know, there was a guy who was only playing in the freaking Super Bowl talking about how he worships at the feet of Pentagon, you know?
Yeah, that was a missed opportunity. I'm still not that's one that still confuses me.
I mean, that was some free freaking publicity that AEW did not capitalize on besides, like, a tweet, you know? Maybe that's part of the problem, too, is they mistake Twitter for being, you know, actual marketing, you know?
Yeah, that could be the issue. I think...
But it's like you said you didn't know what Britt Baker was going to have going on at the pay-per-view, and I told you, well, there was a tweet of a backstage. Okay, why wasn't that on TV? You had time to kill because you had to get the cage set up.
Yeah, or why, even if they couldn't put the video on TV, they could have mentioned that the video existed on TV and directed people to Twitter to find it, but they did not do that.
Yeah, there was nothing. It's like, oh, the women are done. Well, let's... Oh, hey, we have more executive vice presidents to make happy. Which, on that note, following the figures, which I admit did not look bad, the figures, I don't think I'm going to be getting any of this first series, but I admit, the figures didn't look bad.
Yeah, I'm not a figure person, but they seemed more posable and adjustable than I would expect them for them to be, but I have no idea about these things.
Yeah, right. I mean, I haven't really... I think that the last figure I bought was... It was one of those I just had to have because I saw, you know, in a Walmart, a Judge Dredd figure. I was like, I gotta get this, you know? Never did get the Judge Death one, but anyway. Yeah, just, you know what? Tell you what, Wicked Cool Toys, when you start doing a pendant... When you do a pendant... Pentagon figure? Yeah, hit me up. I'll buy three. One for I'll buy each variant. How about that? We'll do that for all the multiple costumes. With that, we go into a recap of the very long and drawn out Cody versus MJF feud. Boy, this has been going on longer than I think Cody Rhodes against Chris Jericho went at this point.
Yeah, Cody is the master of getting an angle to last from one pay-per-view cycle all the way to the next one and just dragging it out. Which hopefully he finds some creative ways to keep it going, whatever he's doing after his pay-per-view, because I'm sure he'll be spending a lot of time on it, whatever it is.
Yeah, but with that, we have the first ever cage match in AEW. It is Cody Rhodes and the in-ring debut of Wardlow, which I still have no idea what the hell that name is supposed to mean. And also the fact that, you know, we're supposed to be, you know, presenting Wardlow as this big, beefy, intimidating guy, but A, we already had Jeff Cobb on the show, and B, as we determined, as you saw for yourself live and in person in Hoffman Estates, DDP towers over him.
Right.
Yeah. You know? So it kind of makes it, you know, maybe just a little bit of just a little bit of a joke. But it was a cage match. It did all the cage matchy things, including, of course, there had to be a blade job in this match.
Yeah, I actually was wondering if they would be able to do that on TNT, but Cody did bleed, and Cody bled a lot.
He bled a lot. He was trying to outdo Tetsuya Naito from a couple Sundays ago, I think.
Yeah. He didn't quite get there. He didn't quite get there as fast as Naito got there, which was amazingly fast, but he bled a lot for a US TV show.
Yeah, I am surprised. I'm wondering if we're going to hear about that one. Like TNT folk had some issues with that or not. But yeah. I mean, it was a for a steel cage match, yeah, it was what it was. How often can you say that a steel cage match was great, you know?
Yeah. I have seen a lot of steel cage matches that have not been great, so this being fine, and especially considering this was Wardlow's first match and in a big spot where he could have gotten nervous, he could have struggled because he, from what I've seen on him at Warrior Wrestling, he's okay, but he's not great. But he knew what his role was to be intimidating and to throw Cody around, and he did just enough to get over his character, so he still looked like someone you should care about coming out of this, even though he lost. So I think it was not the best Cody match we've seen like this, but it was successful for what they needed to do.
Well, you say he was at Warrior Wrestling. Did he wrestle as Wardlow? Because I have absolutely no recollection of this guy.
Yes, he did wrestle. It's only like a couple times. There was one really bad match with Austin Aries and maybe somebody else where people were thrown together. Yeah.
But, I'm shocked.
I mean, he wrestled like a less impressive Brian Cage in the other match I saw. So I'd seen a lot of him, not to expect a lot out of him, but I thought he did enough here that people are going to be fine. He's still going to be good in his role, and just we don't need to see him every week. But when he does stuff, he should still be fine at doing it.
So you were at Warrior 8 this past weekend, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, how was Red Narita against Alex Shelley? Because that was one of the things I was thinking about going to, but I ended up bowing out of it.
That was one of the better matches on the show. Especially it happened early on in the show, and I think the crowd got tired by the end. But it was the second match, so people were into that match. I thought Narita looked good, but Shelley pushed him well. I think I would have that maybe as the second best match on the show behind the Rascals or Stronghearts match. But Narita seems like he's doing well on these indie matches around the Midwest.
Yeah, because I saw him at Black Label, and he was against Joey Velasquez and Isaiah Velasquez, excuse me. And yeah, he was pretty good in that one too. So yeah, so far successful excursion so far for him. Back to Templario against Barbaro Carbonario. How was that?
That was good. I think Templario's had more exciting matches, but this one held together better than like the match he had against he had last time out. So I think
I missed that one. So
Carbonario seems like he's not doing as much in the U.S. in some of these matches, but I think he did enough that people were happy to see him.
I mean, he at least did the worm into the corner, right? I
mean, yes,
he had to do that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, back to Dynamite. So, of course, you know, there was, you know, fuckery with MJF on the outside, and so of course Arn Anderson and Brandi Rhodes, you know, got involved with that one. You know, we all knew Arn was going to just slam someone was going to get hit with the cage door. We knew that was coming, right?
Right, they have to do that in everyone. I guess there was some idea that Arn was going to turn on Cody here because they had vaguely teased it on one of the internet videos, but for no second did I think that Arn was actually going to turn in this match. But it was still a fun bump that MJF took off that door.
It was, I agree, but I mean, like I said, you know, I think the last truly great cage match that I can think of, you know, besides, you know, that... I mean, okay, Hell in the Cell 98, maybe, but I was thinking more like, you know, going back even further that, you know, the Ric Flair, Kerry Von Erich, you know, the Freebird, you know, where the Freebirds turned on the Von Erichs.
Yeah,
down
maybe.
Down in World Class, you know, in December of 82.
I did appreciate how this one was. They did not use WWE escape rules, that this was someone had to be pinned or submitted in the ring. I thought that had a better feeling of it, because I think the climbing out spots have all been played out. I'm not sure they were good to begin with, but it was good that this was not a climbing match. This was two people beating each other up in a cage match.
Well, right, but I mean, doesn't Lucha do that too, where it's the first to escape, or the ones who escape do escape, and then the last two in the ring have a match.
Yeah, CML does that, where they have a mass of people, and then when it comes to the last two, it is a pinfall. But you still get a lot of the climbing spots, and there's a lot of people escaping.
Right, but I mean, Triple A did that as the main event of Triple Mania a couple years ago.
Right, and they did a couple months ago too on the Triple Mania Rejoin card, and you just kind of like all the climbing stuff. You've seen people tease climbing out of the cage enough that there's not enough interesting ways to do it.
Right. And of course, Dragon Gate does it. That's the dead or alive cage match every year.
Right.
So yeah, it's good that they do they say that, climbing out does not get you, getting out of the cage does not win you the match. But of course, knowing how tall that cage was, you knew that someone was going to take an insane jump off of it, and Cody Rhodes delivered with a moonsault from the top to win the match.
Right, and I thought they shot that moonsault great, and the way that Cody did not do the thing where you stand up there and you look around to make sure the guy's in position and the guy has to stand there waiting. He just got up there and pretty much did it. And
yeah,
Wardlow was in the right position and he connected with him, but that was it was a brave moonsault, even as far as those things go.
Yeah, it was. I was kind of worried. I actually thought for a second he was actually going to go to the outside. But then it was like, oh, wait, but yeah, one of the stipulations is he can't touch, MJF. So it kind of ruined everything, 1 week to the pay-per-view. But so anyway, yeah, the match, it was okay. Again, it was a cage match. It was what it was.
Yeah, I think they said they did enough in the cage match that the cage, and that the next time they pull out the cage match for Dynamite, it'll be another big deal. Because I think we got the blood, we got the move off the top, we got no interference. As much as they did the Arn MJF spot on the outside and the Brandy MJF spot, MJF never really interfered in the match. I guess he did pass that ring at one point, but he didn't he didn't break up a pin. The cage kept him out, which is supposed to be the idea of cage matches, but
right,
people got away from that. So
yeah, that and plus it has to be such these two guys hate each other so much that they can only be caged and I thought of another good cage match. Back in the AWA of all places. The Midnight Rockers against, oh God, who was that? It was Buddy Rose, and do you remember who his partner was? Because I can't think of his name all of a sudden.
No, I'm not familiar. I can't think of this one.
See, if Lawrence was here, he would know, because he did a whole podcast on that feud. So now I have to know. Here's his Midnight Rockers versus Doug Summers. That was Buddy Rose and Doug Summers. Yeah, they did a cage match there that was quite good. Actually, you could find that match on YouTube, turns out. From Christmas night, 1986. Boy, wrestling has a weird relationship with Christmas, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's a wonderful way to spend Christmas, is to go watch people beat each other up in the cage.
Yeah. Right. But AEW, yeah, they didn't run Christmas, so because they have families, they're the first wrestlers, they're the first wrestling company that has families,
Yeah.
So with that was the end of episode 20 of AEW Dynamite, live from the State Farm Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Cubs, your pros and cons of the show.
I thought the best parts were the tag title match, and the women's match, maybe the cage match. I think both of those were pretty good. And I like that. I feel like they're setting up things well for the pay-per-view. I'm not sure. There was nothing really hated except, you know, I would have liked Penta and Phoenix to win, but that wasn't going to happen. It's tough to find. Like, there was stuff that was okay, but there was nothing really bad on their show. The Dynamite's on the good streak of not really having bad parts.
Yeah, I mean, besides Britt Baker in the ring, recently, yeah, there really has not been any, well, okay, I think there was that Joey Janela and Kip Sabian match I couldn't give two shits about. But, you know, really Dynamite has been on a good streak lately. There was nothing actively bad on this show. As you said, I hated that finish of the tag title match, but the tag title match was really good otherwise. And I really rolled my eyes, to say the least, when the Young Bucks won the Battle Royale. But as far as actual pros, the tag title match, as you said, the Chris Statlander versus Shanna, I thought that was a good match. It was very well wrestled. I liked Mox and Cobb, even though it wasn't great, but I liked it. It wasn't bad. So, and the cage match, it did what it had to do. And yeah. And somehow they somehow they escaped the TNT censors too. With
maybe they traded their one curse word a week for blood.
Yeah, for a massive blade job. Yeah.
Yeah.
So on that note, this is episode 20 of both this show and Dynamite. 20 weeks on TV. What's your overall opinion of the direction that All Elite Wrestling's going on TV?
There are some points I'd like to be different. Some people I'd like to see more focus on. Some people I'd like to see who were promised to be on the show who have not appeared on the show that I would like to see.
Like
but
who?
Overall,
like, who?
like a small Viking child who or other people from AAA who were supposedly coming on the show at some point.
Oh yeah, okay, you're right. I forgot about
that's my issue. That might not be an everyone issue. But overall, though, this is like the one U.S.-based wrestling show I go out of my way to see every week. And I feel like, more than not, it's good wrestling, and it makes sense. There's a direction to everything, and I come away happy I spent my 2 hours on it instead of just feeling like I wasted it. Not everything is perfect. There's flaws. There's things that can be improved, but this is it has been a good experience between 20 shows, and I'm looking forward to going to the pay-per-view in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, of course, I'm going to be there too, because I'm actually going to just walk from McCormick Place over there. So I'm going to be there for C2E2 as well. Are you attending like any of the wrestling panels, or are you just not? You're not even going to the?
No, I am just there for the show at this point.
Yeah. Of course, you know, there's, you know, dinner at in Chinatown, you know, mere blocks away. So, you know, or there's a Harold's Chicken, too, right there, too. So, you know, all good. But that being said, yeah, 20 weeks on TV. It's been a mixed bag. I'm still mostly positive. There were some things that have been unbearable, and thankfully a lot of that has either been adapted or they've just dropped, you know, which a lot of times, you know, people get so committed to something that they're like, no, we got to stick through this. It'll get over eventually. I think that's the story of Britt Baker so far, but I think now that, you know, they've done this heel turn with her, maybe it's a little more bearable. But, you know, there's still some things I question. Like, again, the Penta and Phoenix heel turn out of nowhere, even though they're clearly still over as hell. I think, you know, they need to figure out, you know, who is actually popular and who just, you know, it holds an executive position in the company at times. But overall, yeah, so far, I think it has been a success so far. And TNT, obviously, you're happy. I guess, what are they extended to, like 2023?
Yeah.
I think that's a little optimistic at this stage in the game, but, you know.
But you'll take the money if they'll give it to you. So
right. Yeah.
In fact, I don't think we mentioned it because they just mentioned passing, but they're going to run a third hour next week that's like a countdown special, which, I mean, I don't. That's probably not the third hour they promised. Oh
yeah, you know what? But what is it going to be after Dynamite or
right before? After Dynamite? So I bet it's going to be like extended Road 2 kind of thing, like they've done before. But still, having like that extra, having them throw an extra hour that just straight pay per view promotion tells you the how happy TNT must be with them right now.
Yeah, well, I may not be watching that because we're going to be recording. Because we'll be in the middle of recording this show during that time period. So,
I suspect that's not a mandatory watch, unless you really like video packages. But sometimes the video packages are nice.
Yeah, sometimes. I'm also pretty sure it'll end up on YouTube anyway. So, yes, you can always go back and watch it later. So that was episode 20. And next week we are in KCMO. With a so far the only real match announced has been the Iron Man match between Kenny Omega and Billy the Fish, something that they did not mention once until they threw the preview up for next week.
Right. It just I didn't even think about it until they threw the preview up, but that's going to be a pretty good match.
Yeah, you know, that's been something too. Sometimes I think that they really need to do more with getting their angles over, because it just seems like sometimes they just kind of throw it in there and then they forget about it. It's like, oh yeah, by the way.
Yeah. As much as they had Britt Baker come on to do the doing the talking during the match, they probably need to carve out some time for Pac to just to pop in and say something too. But
yeah.
But for me, it doesn't matter. I'll be excited to see that match anyways.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it'll be a good one. So yeah, so that'll be something worth watching. So, all right, Cubs, plug yourself.
If you can find me talking about Lucha Libre and occasionally things that are not Lucha Libre at Lucha Blog on Twitter. You can find a daily Lucha Libre news update on luchablog.com. I am doing some math about the year in Lucha Libre later this week if I get done posting it. You can find out who had the most wins of all the matches I could track down this year and who wrestled the most matches and all sorts of stupid statistics like that. So you can. That'll be up at luchablog.com later this week.
It was Croneo and Volcano, wasn't it?
It felt like Croneo and Volcano, but only if you watch the bad Tuesday CML shows.
How excited are you for the Cubs season coming up?
I am moderately excited just because I want to see some baseball, but it does not look like great promise in the season. It seems like they kind of got stuck between two different plans, and it's going to be a dramatic year, but not a good way.
How do you feel about a lot of the fans revolting against the ownership, against ownership because they have some questionable alliances?
I that's been a problem with following this ownership team since they bought it, and I think the rebellion is only going to increase if they don't work out their new TV network and get them on Comcast before the season starts. And I'm not sure if that's actually going to happen. So it's going to be a fun year.
I thought I saw something about they were going to be on Hulu.
They got Hulu, but they don't have Xfinity, and they don't have a few other places. So, and it sounds like every indication is that the Cubs and Xfinity are going to go right down to the wire. So,
could be a problem. Yeah,
yeah, could be a problem if no one can see your team's games.
Yeah, well, yeah, if only there were a TV network that the Cubs have been on for like since for centuries or something.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in Style on Twitter. My personal Twitter is at GD Wessel, and you can listen to Strong Style Story here on this network. We dropped a show on Sunday, and yeah, so that's what I've got going on. So, Cubs, thanks for stepping in at the last minute. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah, feel free to come on by. We can bitch some more about how the Lucha Brothers are getting mistreated by this company.
Sure.
All right. Well, until then, hope you enjoy Dynamite, and we'll see you next week. Thanks a lot.